اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلاً وعيناً حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها طويلاً. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضع. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته، اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك. ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فاضح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي، يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي. ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملت في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك؟ أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا. لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني، ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعا وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت، أو إحسان فضلت، أو بر نشرت، أو رزق بسطت، أو ذنب تغفر، أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا، وبخدمتك موصولا، وأعمالي عندك مقبولا، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من علي معولي، يا من إلي شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك، والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده، ومن كادني فكيده، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقرني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، روحي فداك يا مولاي. Another Thursday night has come, a night for your ziyara, and we are at this great distance, unable to come, but our hearts are there, ya مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، روحي فداك. Find your corner in the haram of Imam al-Hussein. I'm sure many of you have been, and you have that spot in mind, that you went there and Imam al-Hussein treated you well. He gave a touch of his presence to you, ya Aba Abdullah. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawla. Tonight the Ahlul Bayt are in Karbala. As the account goes, Fatima al-Zahra is in Karbala. looking for those who are shedding tears for her son, Ya Aba Abdullah. روحي فداك. Let's remember Karbala. Let's remember the loneliness of Imam al-Husayn. He called for water. He asked for water. One of the times he asked was not for himself. Many times it wasn't. But this particular time I'm referring to is a time he held his six-month-old baby above his head. Oh, people, if you think I've committed a sin and don't deserve to live and don't deserve water, this is a six-month-old baby, he's sinless. If you think water is for me, take him, quench his thirst, and return him. The response he got was a four-pronged arrow. Oh, Ya Aba Abdullah. روحي فداك يا مولاي. I don't know what happened there, Ya Aba Abdullah. I don't know how you returned towards the tents. I don't know if you did so or not. Perhaps you went in a corner and found some space to be able to bury that young baby, worrying perhaps his mom would see. Ya Allah, ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. صلى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite الصلوات. الله سبحانه وتعالى addresses the believers in the Holy Quran in different ways, and he says to them a number of different things. And there are different descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of the believers in the Holy Quran. If I can request for the echo to be turned muted, thank you. One of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers in many instances, in different ways, I'll try to elaborate a little bit on that, because it's important for us. Every description of the believers is important for us. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning something repeatedly, then that would tell us that that's a description we need to focus on more compared to the other descriptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the matter of faith, belief, and infaq. Infaq, giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said it's mentioned, this is repeated. I'll give you a couple of instances. You can check Surah Al-Hadid. After the beginning, the opening of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. The way He describes them is that they believe and they give in His way. And it goes back and forth regarding both of those concepts, comparing the believers to the munafiqeen, those who seem to be believers, but they're not really believers. Munafiqeen live amongst us. God forbid I may be one of them. Al-A'udhu Billah. There's different levels and degrees of that as well. On the day of judgment, clearly our lines will be separated. Those of us who are not really believers, we lived with the believers, we acted as though we were believers, but we weren't. That chapter differentiates between them, talks to them. One of the very scary lines is this, that on the day of judgment, first it says that the believers, they will come and they will be walking, yamshi, or yamshun, nuruhum bayna aydihim wa bi'aymanihim. Their light is before them and bi'aymanihim. Now I haven't spent too much time thinking about that. Doesn't seem to be suggesting that it's on the right hand. There's another possible meaning. Literally, it means to their rights. But what does it mean by the light being before them and to their lights? They have light to their rights. They have light on the day of judgment. They know where to go, what to do. They see. Then it talks about the munafiqeen. It says the munafiqeen refer to the believers and say, we used to be with you. Can you give us some of that light? The believers say, no, we can't. It's not up to us. You have to turn back, go back, get light from where we came from. It's too late now. It's from the dunya, the life of the dunya you should have chosen. You were with us. We were together, but you weren't really with us. One of the ideas that is focused on there and differentiation between the real believers, the true believers, and those who are ahlun nifaq, those who act as though they're believers but they're not, is in the matter of giving. The chapter focuses a lot on that. I don't want to get into too much of that particular chapter. Another chapter which seems to have been one of the earlier chapters revealed in Mecca. It says, it describes a believer, فَمَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى فَمَنْ وَصَدَّقَ. At the end it says, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. فَمَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. صَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى is the iman. It actually mentions the i'ta, the giving, the infaq. It's a different wording. مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We'll give him ease.
a sign of the believers. It starts with i'ta, giving. This is one pattern, faith and infaq. Another pattern description of the believers that contains these two elements is that when it talks about believers, it mentions salat, which is reinforcing and reminding the belief. Then the first thing that it says in action is yu'tuna zakat, giving zakat, which is not limited to the wajib form of zakat. There's two wajib forms of zakat. One of them doesn't apply, according to the common understanding of the jurist, doesn't apply to most of us. The second type of wajib zakat is zakatul fitrah. That does apply to most of us. But that's once a year, and it's not too much. The zakat that applies to those who are farmers or raise livestock, that's particular items. Or, according to the common understanding, those who, if there is still a country in the world that deals in gold and silver coins, there is zakat if you keep them and you don't spend them besides khums. This is not about whatever the value of your belongings are. It's about particularly about gold and silver coins, though, not just gold and silver. If you got tons of gold, but it's not coined the coin of currency. There are coins, for example, in Iran, they do have these particular coins that they sell. The value is slightly different than the value of the gold in it, but that's not currency. It has to be currency. Anyhow, with those specifications, most of us don't raise livestock. Most of us are not involved with farming. Most of us don't live in areas. I don't know if there's any area that has silver and gold coins any longer. But anyone that those apply to, that's the wajib zakat. Zakat is not limited to that. When it says yu'tuna zakat, it's not limited to that. It's more broad, it's more general than that. Giving, okay. In other verses, it says yunfiquna fi sabilillah. Or in, again, back going back to Surah Al-Hadid, one of the lines that it says, man dhalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana. The term قَرْضُ الْحَسَنَةِ has come from verses that have this, but this has nothing to do with what we call قَرْضُ الْحَسَنَةِ. قَرْضُ الْحَسَنَةِ that we say is non-rabawi, non-interest-based, non-usury-based loans. This is not that. This is God saying give, but He's not calling it giving. He says lend me money. God, the giver of all money and all sustenance, says when you are spending in His way, you are lending Him money, which means it'll be returned to you. Okay. And then in those verses it says, it will return and more will be given in this world, and لَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. In addition to what's given in this world, then there's أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. So if you look in the Qur'an, one of the descriptions that is repeated about believers is giving. Belief and giving. The first thing we can note about this is that all this repetition of this quality tells us is very important. And this doesn't have much to do with how much money a person has. It doesn't. Some of the poorest of people during the time of the Prophet, the little they had, they would give. They would hear this, they would give, and rightfully so. Whatever you have, whatever extent you have, a person has. God says, give. I've given you whatever I've given you, I want you to give. And there's a, since we mentioned this idea of, you know, how much a person has, sometimes we ourselves are in need. Has this been addressed? Should we give if we're in need? In the Quran, it's been addressed, and then in Hadith, it's been addressed in an interesting way. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the believers in Surah Al-Hashr. So, وَلَوْ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They are themselves in need, but they're giving. They give of what they have, although they need it. That's been praised in the Holy Quran. That's one thing. The other thing is, in Hadith, it says that if you are struggling with your finances, give. If you want sustenance, When you're struggling, give. Like, look, I'm doing the math here. It doesn't seem to be adding up. I'm short of money. I need some source to give it. God says, look, and that's why this is about believers. This is not mathematics of earthly mathematics. Yeah, you got $5, you give $2 away, you only have $3 left. But that's if the world was only the $3 that you have left, or the $5 in total that you have, and wherever source you got it from. These $5 came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I gave it to you. You're dealing with the situation where you don't have as much. Give some of it, not all of it, some of it. I will give you more. You want more? You're looking, five isn't enough? Okay, give some of that. I'll give you more. That's the way to deal with it. It's not about how much you give, whether a person has a lot or doesn't have a lot. And it's not about what a person having a lot or not to give. Both of those are important. Sometimes a person may have a lot. At a certain point, they don't need to give a lot. Just a little bit here in this particular case is required. And sometimes maybe more is needed. Whatever is needed. It's about the giving. God doesn't say how much you give. He keeps saying that believers need to give. The first thing that we get from this is that this is a necessity of faith. It's not a matter that we can say, well, I can be a believer and not have this. It's optional. No, it's not optional. It's a description of it. You don't have this, you're not. The whole chapter of Hadith and some other chapters of the Holy Quran, we just mentioned two of them, Surah Al-Layl and Surah Al-Hadid. They put these two together. If you don't have the second, you're not of those believers. You fall in the category of the munafiqin. It's necessary. This is one thing we understand of it. The other thing that we need to look at and remind ourselves regarding this is what's happening with this whole giving process. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to give? Before being able to have an understanding of us giving, we need to understand what we are giving. What we are giving. There's an element that is more important for us to understand. In order for us to understand this giving part, that has to do with the faith. Remember, we've always tried to say this, that the most important element is faith itself. The giving, the Quran says this too, the giving without faith means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If the giving is not based on faith, it means nothing. Even if the person is somewhat of a believer, but that particular time they gave, it's not based on faith. It means nothing. It has none of the effects. It's giving based on faith. There's some elements of faith, brothers and sisters, we need to look at the Holy Quran to see that deeper explanation, which is repeated so many times. And the need for all that repetition is clear, because as many times as it has been repeated, and hopefully if we've read the Quran, we have read it so many repeated times, we still don't get it. Certain concepts need repetition, various wordings. We don't get it. What is that? We'll start off with this, the idea of, related to this topic of giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's given to you. We said the wording there is, after saying the anfaq, will they give of what they have? It says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. And other verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the sustenance is from Him. Whatever we have is given from Him. It's Qarun that says, it's mine. Qarun's ideology and belief system says, it's mine. I got it Because I knew it's my knowledge, my abilities, my brains, my intelligence, my right choices, my this, my that, anything that's related to me and saying this money is because of that, whatever it may be, that's Qarun's ideology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Qarun to give of what God has given. Musa is told to tell him, ابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة. What God has given you, seek the hereafter. The first thing is, okay, God has given. This is one thing that. We hear that, brothers and sisters. It seems, as much as we hear it and we say it, it's not really believed. And the reason why it's not believed, we don't really believe it, we say it. The reason why it's not believed is because we see all these other elements being involved in us having those finances, those funds, that money, that wealth. We see these various elements. And to our perception, what we see is that if that wasn't there, then I wouldn't have had this. There's other believers. God is with them too. They don't have this. I had to do this to get to that money. I have to save up to be able to do this. I have to be careful with my spending. I have to be careful with my working. I need to make sure I... All these different things that we need to do. I need to have made arrangements beforehand in order for this to work. All these other elements that we see in our experience. And we see them being involved in me having whatever. Yes! I'm a believer, and yes, God says He gives it, so He must be giving it. Do I see that? Do I believe that? Do I think it is the case? If God's command at some point were to give it all, the general commands of Allah aren't to give it all. That's general commands. Specifically at a certain time, give it all. Or specifically based on general principles, general teachings of the Quran and the Hadith, it becomes clear to this particular person that it's wajib for me to do A, whatever that A is. The consequence of that is I'll lose everything. I will not have anything left if I take this step. It's clear I got to do this. I know though, if I do it, everything is gone. Based on the material, meaning all those other elements that are involved in me having whatever I have, based on those, then I can't have any of what I have. I have to take that position, take that stance, do that thing, do that A. And if I do that, I will lose everything. If that comes, if our understanding, if our belief is really that Allah is the only one behind it all, He is the sole person involved in my sustenance of all its various forms, including money. If I see that, then okay, this means all the means will be removed. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Not because I don't see my need. At this point, we're not even getting to the higher levels of Tawheed where you're not even supposed to see yourself. We're still seeing ourselves, unfortunately. We see the need for sustenance, but Because I see that God is really the only one responsible for getting that sustenance. So doing A means all the means are gone. Doesn't matter. All those were means anyway. They were never what got me the money. Never. Those were only means. Me making arrangements, setting things up, doing the math on things, saving up, doing my accounting right, doing the studies right. None of those are the reasons why I have sustenance. Every bit of it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. If I see it as that, it's very easy. He says to do this, I'm going to do it. Where's your sustenance going to come? People are going to tell you, but if you do that, we're going to lose this for a country. We're going to get crippled. We're going to be sanctioned. They're saying it. If you do this, that equates to all these sanctions. We're going to have issues with pharmaceutical products. We will not have the right medical equipment for the ill. We will have this issue, that issue. As a result of making this choice, let's not make that choice. Well, if you think that these means got you that sustenance, the medication, the finances, the food, the whatever, then you'll be struggling. But if you're clear, no, all of those were means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited to those means. He doesn't have that limitation. He can give. He will give. He's promised. He's promised He will. So I'll do my share. I'm sure He's going to take care of His. I'm not going to do too good of a job in taking care of my part. But I know He will do a great job, as He has. Have we ever struggled? Meaning, have we ever not had? Look at the worst times in your life financially. Look at the worst times. Did He not take care of you? Even in those times, He gave you everything. Everything that you needed was given. Every bit that was needed was given. More than what you needed. I look at myself, that's the only one experience that I know. Everything that a person can know about. All the unseen is not mine to know. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen of all of those. But the things that I know, the worst conditions that I have ever been in, He's given me everything. Everything that I need, more than everything that I need. Even in those times, that at the time I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen next? I have nothing, nowhere to go. Nothing, literally nothing. After we pass through it, we trust in Allah, we pass through it, and we look back like, He had given me more. I had extra. Even during that time, I had extra. I had some that was not spent, was not used, was extra. He gives in abundance. If we understand that, then when it's time to give, we won't care how much it is. Doesn't mean that every time you give abundant, we already mentioned that. The point is, at whatever time, whatever amount is needed, depending on conditions, there were times the Lady Fatima al-Zahra had fadak. Why didn't she give it all up? Well, she wasn't supposed to give it all up. Doesn't mean she didn't give charity, but she wasn't supposed to give the whole thing up. There was a time she had to give the whole thing up. When? After the demise of the Prophet. They came and took it. She could have done things, wrong things to keep it. No, I'm not going to do wrong things to keep it. I'm going to go let them steal it. I'm going to mention this in public and make a record of this in history so whomever is looking for the truth will find that these people who claim to be khulafa of the Prophet are not khulafa of the Prophet. Their initial steps were usurping the property of the daughter of the Prophet. Give it up for that. There's different ways of giving up. There's one time you go and you give the poor person this cause, that cause. There's another time that they take it from you. You have options. There's different things you can do in that scenario. When you don't take those measures, the result of which is that you won't have it. If those decision, that decision of yours is made because of Allah, again, you're giving it in the way of Allah. Fatima al-Zahra gave all of that in the way of Allah. When? There's a time for it. Not that when she had it, she's working on it, she's making money off of it. She wasn't supposed to at that time. Whenever the time comes that we need to give whatever amount it is, we don't even think about, oh, if this is an amount that I have the means to give and it's come my way that I need to do this, no worries. Let's do this. In order to get to that understanding, we need to look at many of these verses of the Holy Quran, repeat them. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ Read it, whatever you can. Read the translation, get familiar with the word, read God's wording in Arabic. Okay? Try to do that. Try to get acquainted with the meaning of the word. Repeat it in Arabic. That's God's word. Okay. Not the translation. Read the translation. That should be a gateway, a doorway, something that connects you, gets you to the word or the words and sentences. Get familiar enough with them. Read. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظ فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقِ Look at what you've been created from. Al-insan, all of us, the human being, look at who you are. خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر. You are just a cell, part of a fluid. All of us, al-insan, that's our beginning. How did we develop ourselves? Did I develop myself? Look at myself, just have a feeling for myself. Try to trace my back. من ما خلق فلينظر. It's telling us. Al-insan, the human being should look. Where did he come from? All of us look. فلينظر. Think about this. What are we? Where do we come from? وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ Swearing by the heaven in الطَّارِقِ, which it says وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. Not entirely sure if I have a complete understanding of that. So it's related to a star or stars. النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ, it's either, maybe it could be, again without having fully understood, it's either jinns or it's ta'rif and referring to a particular najm. Both apparently have been said by some scholars. I'm not confident which one it may be. But look at the heaven. Look at the what's above us and look at what's below us. Think and ponder upon these things that God swears in the Holy Quran so many times. So all of those, look at those. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَاشْرٍ Various references to the heavens and the earth. Various other references, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, look at this, look at that. Look at how God created this, how He created that. He gives so many different examples. Do we realize? The only way to realize that this entire universe, every bit of it, from a macro level to the micro level, is not under our control or under anyone's control except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how many chapters start with Sabbaha lillah, yusabbihu lillah, ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard? That's another reference. Everything in the heavens and the earth, everything. مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And then مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Everything in the heavens and the earth does tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop being bogged down with the framework of human life and the dependencies that we see on human action and human involvement and human systems and human decisions, and being deceived by them being what makes things happen. Stop being deceived by that. By looking at these signs, by looking at these verses that are signs, and then they refer us to all these natural signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to reflect on, think about. Where did this human civilization come from? All these structures, all this advancement that we see rapid change over the course of 10 years, sometimes 5 years, sometimes less, sometimes more. It's gained momentum and speed. And we think things work this way. Today things work this way. Today things work that way. What the heck are you talking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's really in charge. Nothing and no one else is in charge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps saying in the Quran, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, in different ways, in different chapters. Allah, there's no God but He. And then we don't get it, what it means when He says there's no God but He. Then He explains further, Huwa al-Malik, He's the King, the absolute King. A king that from the angels, from the greatest of his creation to the lowest, all are direct subjects of his. The intermediaries have nothing of themselves to deal with those lower subjects besides what he says. It's all his doing, 110% of it. God keeps mentioning this in the Quran. How many times does He have to say it? And then we're believers. I'm a believer. I'm looking at myself. I don't know. Maybe you guys have figured out. I don't know. I'm speaking about myself. I have this epiphany with myself. I realize, I think about this. I'm like, look at how many times He's mentioned it. And I'm looking at myself. I still have this worry. That means after all this time, you're still not getting it? You're still worried, if I don't do this, that's going to happen, although it's my taklif to do this? What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me is this. Keep reading, I have my shortcoming, my deficiency. That's the solution. The solution is فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Read it. لَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ.
We have made the Qur'an easy for remembrance. Is there anyone that wants to be reminded? One of the nice lines in Surah Al-Hadid is أَلَمْ يَأْنَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. If I got the wording right, all of them, in the last part. Has the time not come for the believers that their hearts bow to the remembrance of Allah, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, I forgot that part, and bow to what has been revealed of the truth. He's referring to believers, not to disbelievers, not to annas, not to people, generally. Believers, you're already believers. Has a time not come, أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, the truth that has been revealed. Our hearts bowing to it, lowering, humbling, accepting it. The opposite of which is istikbar. Say, no, I reject it. I don't accept it. We need to bow to it. See ourselves lower and lower ourselves to that, accept it. And not to be like الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. The book was given prior to you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. It took too long. That the dhikr was there. مَا نُزِلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ for them was there. Their قُلُوب, they were الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but their قُلُوب, it didn't تَخْشَعَ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. It took too long. What happens when you don't bow for too long? فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. Now they can't. There's a certain time. If we keep hearing it, keep seeing it, keep having it available to us, we keep looking at it one way or another. God brings it to our attention. We know it's the word of God. We don't bow to it. We don't accept it. قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The heart becomes rock solid. It can't bow now. It's got its form and it will act arrogantly towards those truths. InshaAllah, Allah help us. I'm speaking for myself again. Honestly, this isn't just a formality to say I'm speaking about. No, really. I'm really in a pitiful condition. I am in need of mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing His mercy to us, the Ahlul Bayt being our shufa'a. InshaAllah, Allah save us. We're all in need. I see myself, inshaAllah, you guys see whatever. If you have this already figured out, inshaAllah, bless you and continue to giving to give you more. But I feel that I have trouble with this. When the tests are coming my way, I see that I'm not seeing that. And the solution is, wallah, brothers and sisters, read that Quran. It's God's word. By God Himself, it's God's word. It means things. Look at it. Try to figure it out. God says, we've made it easy for you to be reminded with these words. None of us will have an excuse on the day of judgment. But I didn't know this, but I didn't know this. You had the book. It was right there. How many years did I give you? Why didn't you look at it? I had all the solutions there. Every single problem you have, the solution is there. Why didn't you look at it? What am I going to say? I did and I didn't find it. God said, I made it easy. You didn't look. Here, look at this verse. This is your solution. That's your answer for that. That's your... Didn't look. Didn't look. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ. Read whatever you can, brothers, sisters. Listen to it, read it, look at it, think about it. Remember a few words here and there while you're driving. Read it to yourself aloud. Hear it from your own voice. And think about it. Go back and forth with it. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us. If we have that deep understanding, that giving, whatever it is, whatever it is, the most difficult thing to give is one's life. Sometimes because that's a one-time experience, you don't get a second chance at that. You either do it and now you have the experience, but you're not there to tell anyone of the experience. That's a one-time thing, right? We haven't had the experience, obviously, because we're still here. And those who've had the experience, the Quran tells us their words, but we didn't hear them tell us how it was like. But we're told it's the most difficult thing to do. In whatever way it happens, Because apparently there's more difficult ways than physically giving it up. I don't even understand what that means, but apparently there are. This understanding of Allah is the only thing that's going to make a person comfortably being pleased, give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the time comes. And if that's not there, then it may be over a dime that I won't be willing to give it up. It's not about how much it is. If this hasn't been resolved, the time will come, it would be about one dime that I won't be willing to give. A dime is nothing, or even worse, a penny. Right? I wouldn't be willing to give it. This needs to be resolved. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ It's in the same chapter. It talks about iman and infaq. And in getting to that, follow the order, the sequence of verses after أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Then it gets to, if I remember correctly, it gets to those verses where it says مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا Again, repeats that line. When you do khushu' towards God's teachings, towards the ayat of Allah, then the form of giving that the Qur'an is speaking of is going to be, inshallah, very possible, and inshallah we'll be involved with it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping his cause, especially the ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, those who are suffering from the illness of this pandemic, and all of us, all people, all mankind are suffering from the effects of this pandemic without having a cure. And we ask Allah to relieve all of us by providing us with a cure that will allow us to live life as we would without it, inshallah. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.